in the entryway. We got we only had a few printed out last week, but hopefully those that wanted them got them. If not, it is also available on online in the digital format as well. But anyway, good to have you all with us tonight. Just wanted to make mention before we get going too much. I've been wanting to make mention of it the last two or three weeks, but keep forgetting. So we are the first of our grief share classes, sessions are over. And so that was a great success. And we had, I think there was 28 here yesterday for the banquet and also the surviving the holidays portion of that. But we're also now engaged in the Celebrate Recovery that's going on Monday nights. And I still could use another one or two gentlemen to help with that as well. I've got several ladies that are helping us, and it's just in case ever I get sick or something, we just need to make sure that we've got others to do that. And so it's just a reminder to us of the recovery that we discuss is ultimately our recovery from sin, is really what it is in a nutshell. We get so many thoughts in our minds that it's all about drug abuse or alcohol, but it's something that we all struggle with. It's just a matter of if you want to acknowledge it or not. I don't know if you follow on the Facebook page that we put, but every once in a while I'll put up the post there that lists all the different things that it's there to support. And it's interesting, some of the things that we don't see when we see when we talk about celebrating from recovery, such as being a workaholic. We see that on the same page as being an alcoholic, but which ones are we going to focus on? Right? There are just some things that are sins that are easily more accepted amongst people. Dependency, or what was the one we talked about? People pleasing, right? If you're just going out of your way to please people, your whole mindset is wrong. We need to please the Lord. Now, if people are pleased by that, then praise God. But so anyway, if there's any guys that are interested in helping out with that, we meet on Monday nights, 6:30 to 8. Can always use the extra help. But anyway, all right, just wanted to plug that in there for help with that. And then also, hopefully we're doing a coat drive or giveaway in December or sometime. What did I say that date probably was? 13th, I think. I think it was whatever the second Saturday is what we're shooting for on that. We'll say this, so I was able to get in contact with Nada Miller from the food bank over there, and they were in need of, they had listed families that needed help with winter coats. We were like, we've got winter coats. So they come over, and we were able to give at least over 40 winter coats for the families in need for that through the Graybill Food Bank. So we were glad to help them out. They were glad that we were able to help them out. And it's just exciting to be able to help in those ways. Now, there's those of us that choose not to wear coats. But if you would like to have a coat and need one, that's what we try to do, is because nothing saddens me more than on the way to school and see kids standing out at a bus stop, cold and shivering, when I don't know what's going on there, but all I know is they're cold. But anyway, so those are some of the things going on over there, and just try to update you once in a while with those things. Hebrews 10:24 is where we're at. So we got our new booklet. I tried to separate the booklet out about as middle as I could as far as context that goes. And so we had like 22 verses for the first part of the booklet. And we got like 15 verses maybe for the sex. So there's a lot more material to be covered in that second half of the chapter here that we're looking at. But anyway, let's get going on this. Hebrews 10:24. Christ's people also must consider or pay attention to one another to provoke or to stir up to love and good works. The word here translated stimulate gives the comes from that English word paroxysm. And appears in the New Testament scripture only here and in Acts 15:39, which we'll look at in just a second. But what I want to share is, so look at when we see this, and we'll, those that know Hebrews 10:24 without looking ahead to that just yet, this is where we have that word stimulate. And see what other word it's translated as in the New Testament. It's kind of, at least it was interesting to me. So Acts 15:39, it says, and there occurred such a sharp disagreement. Remember, this is the whole discussion between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. And there was a sharp disagreement. I always envision that as not just like, okay, well, Paul, you do what you want. You know, I am the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. So I'm just going to be, when it says a sharp disagreement, I think of sharp cheddar cheese. When you take a bite out of that, it's going to get your attention, right? You're just like, ooh, right? I'm not saying it's not good, but I'm just saying you're going to recognize it. But anyway, a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. The mutual consideration enjoyed in the duty of every Christian and is a clear, though frequently neglected, obligation. That line just really, if you got to want to write in your book, underline that. But the mutual consideration enjoyed in the duty of every Christian and is a clear, though frequently neglected, obligation. I'm trying to think if it's in my message for next Sunday morning, where I have one of the passages of Scripture out of Proverbs, where it talks about iron sharpens iron. And I think that's kind of what this is here. Because I think we take that verse and totally miss it. Because iron, when iron sharpens iron, George, what happens? And usually there's some sparks that are flying. And see, we always say, well, oh, it's like iron sharpens iron, and we're going to get together, and we're just going to have a good time with one another, and we're going to encourage one another. No, there's blowing sparks. It's blowing like the metal on the edge of a knife. What's that? Right. And so when we look at that, I think we miss the context of that, and I think maybe some of that is in this as well. So when you hear that next week, remember back to tonight, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I think I heard about that before. Okay? As we look at this, that there's that sharp disagreement. Or, as we see it in Hebrews 10:24, it says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. In other words, with all love and gentleness and meekness and everything, we need to get each other riled up, is what it's saying. Right? And so here's how it generally works, and I'm not picking on our greeters that are there tonight or this month or anything of that, but it's generally that way for all the time. But when you guys walk in, how does it generally go? Well, good evening. We're glad that you're here. Right? And that's what we want to hear. We want to hear soothing words. But if we're really going to stimulate each other, right? What are we going to say? Now Tam's like, oh no, here we go. She's always worried I'm going to lose my job. Every week, it's the same thing, right? She's just like, oh Lord. Please, just remember, thank you, Jesus. Right? I did hear that several times today and this evening. So, right? We're looking here how to consider one another, to love and to do good deeds. And so maybe there's some things that we need to do a little better, a little more aggressively, a little more sharply, a little more iron versus ironly in each other's lives to get each other's motivated, right? And so, like we said, we like to blame God on things that we should be blaming the devil on. And so, you know, when we say to somebody, well, we're glad you're here tonight. Not everybody, but I know that there are some people that walk to their seats thinking, what in the world did they mean by that? Right? Right? Those that aren't laughing, probably the ones that think that. Right? And so, you know, as we look at that, so we've got to consider ways to stimulate one another. To do what? What's the first thing? To love. Right? To love one another and to be involved in good deeds. Because if we are the church and we're not involved in loving our neighbor, as we shared this morning, and we're not involved in good deeds, then what's the point? Then what's the point? And so as we look at that, let's try to focus that on that. And just remember that this word is, it goes along with that sharp disagreement. So, in other words, somebody may say something to you at some time that kind of, rub their fur the wrong way, right? Like if you got a dog, do you understand what I'm talking about? And anyway, smooth, and then it gets a little rough, all right? Don't be offended. Actually, be grateful that they care enough to say something to you, right? Now, again, and this is where even myself and other, that we learn to do that with love and encouraging one another for that greater cause. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be some metal blowing, some friction taking place at times. And don't look at that as in, who do they think they are? Look at them as, you know what? I'm thankful they said that. Because maybe there is something I could do better. We're not a perfect church. So, yep, there's always something we can do better. The third challenge is to stimulate one another towards love and good deeds. As we've discussed, if Christians would practice this challenge, it would make it easier to practice the second challenge, to hold fast to the hope, which is what we looked at last week. The idea is not just that people might consider which ways they may encourage others, but for the emphasis is consider one another. I'll just say this, consider one another. So, we have our prayer list there, for example. Why do we have a prayer list? Well, so Dylan has something to read when he gets up front, right? No, the whole point and the idea of that prayer list is that you take it with you and you consider these people throughout the course of the week, right? And so somebody always said, well, we don't have enough bulletins. Once people quit leaving bulletins in the chairs and throwing them in the trash, we'll print more. Does that make sense? Because you're not using them for what they're intended for. Because it's not just so you know what Dylan's saying, because you could listen to that. Right? Hal, where are you at? Not just hearing, but listening, right? You could listen to that, but you take those lists and you do something with them. And if you're not, then what does it matter then anyway? And so as we look at that, we gotta consider ways to stimulate one another. So what that means is we gotta consider And that means to think about each other more than when we're just here in the services. It's easy to think about the person in front of you and their big melons blocking their view, right, from the stage, right? That's why Gary's always like, George, yeah, right? But when we think of that, it's to consider one another. Do you think about each other? Do you think about our educators, not just in the school, but those that teach other places, the things that they face all week long with their kids? Pray for that. Always pray for the eldership here, right? Pray for one another as they're out on the workforce and on some of you guys travel many miles throughout the course of the week. We need to pray for safety for those people that do that. We have those in law enforcement that face a whole different kind of challenge than we would. Pray for that. We've got this whole list of things, of people to consider. And unfortunately, many times probably throughout the week, we don't even think about that other person until we walk into these doors and we see them. Oh, yeah, hey, how are you? Having a good week? Hope so. That's not considering, stimulating one another with love and good deeds. We can do that to the casual person at the gas pump. Hey, how are you? You know, you run into that same person every morning at the coffee store or whatever. But if you don't take it any deeper than that, then what is it worth? Consider one another. The emphasis is on considering the specific need of each individual. You know how that happens? You're going to have to talk to one another. Because you won't know what's on their mind, and they won't know what's on your mind or on your heart unless you do that. The specific need, each individual with the goal of bringing about love and good deeds. The command to consider one another is a call away from selfishness. And I think we all struggle with that to some degree. Some are way better at not being selfish. Some are way better at being selfish. But as we look at that, it's a call away from that selfishness. We are to put forth a strong action to challenge other to greater things. And so that's why, whatever it may be, as we had and we shared a couple or weeks ago, last week or whatever, when especially those three young guys and Gary all spoke for us. See, I always change, make it anyway. You know, that spoke, why not encourage them on to greater things like that? You know, look around and instead of talking bad about our teenage girls, compliment them on being the godly examples that they are. So everybody's going to do something that bothers somebody else sometime. But the thing is also, we do things that are good. Why is that? Because we do have Christ in our life, and we may be trying, and what we need is encouraged to try even harder. Not for us, but because we know that they're looking at us, and what we do brings glory to God. I read that in the Sermon on the Mount somewhere, right? Didn't we discuss that before? So we are to put forth a strong action to challenge others to greater things. First, they are called to provoke to love. Now, there's other passages of Scripture in the Bible that we hear this word provoke. What's perhaps one of the number one other passages that we talk about? Fathers, do not provoke your children, right? But here it says, to provoke, right? To love. Encourage. I can't can't remember. I thought of Rick. I know Rick's out in the greeter there. But I think it was at the winter or the restoration destination. They talked about how you move sheep and cattle, you know, and you don't drive sheep. You lead them. But cattle, sometimes you have to, and if you ever want to know what I'm referencing, go out and visit the slaughterhouse on some Tuesday. Rick will probably be glad to show you. But they've got this thing called a cattle prod. And it's a motivator. It's a provoker. It encourages them to move along. And so that's why we are told to provoke in love rather than to provoke with voltage. Right? But boy, wouldn't that be great, elders, if we could provoke with voltage? Can I get an amen? Right? So as we look at that, and we talk about those things, provoking towards good deeds. No individual is an island, contrary to what Simon and Garfunkel says. Okay? We each need to need the encouragement from others to do greater good deeds. This highlights the importance of accountability from one another, as well as challenging each other in the Lord. This thought just came to my mind. So remember all the grumbling and complaining and things that took place in the wilderness wanderings? Just imagine if the coin would have been flipped and all the people would have been behind Moses and Aaron and would have been like, you know what? We haven't drank any good water in 4 days, but we know it's not your fault, right? If they would have said, you know, we can hold out a little longer. Just imagine what the encouragement would have been. Hey, you know, guys, we're trying. You know what? Oh, I found that if you put sweet baby Ray's on that quail, it totally changes the taste of it, right? And so you could find ways to be encouraging. How do you think that would have changed? Because I don't think they would have had their 40 years of wandering, because they would have come back with 12 out of 12 that said, we can go in there and take the promised land. You know why? God said we could. He said he already gave it to us. Let's go do it. And instead of wandering for 40 years, it would have took them what it should have took them, about 2 weeks to get there. And I can't help but think that in the church, maybe it's the same way for us. If we'd encourage each other to greater good deeds. One of the things I appreciate with the school, what we try to do, we got girls, young ladies, and it's not just contained to them, even some guys at times, but they'll use their growing skills of playing. We had a gal play the dulcimer the other day and the piano. And sometimes there's a violin or different things like that, or guys with guitars or whatever. And what are they doing that for? Do they enjoy being told, thank you, good job? Yes. But they're doing it because they want to serve the Lord in some other greater capacity. And so let's take those times to encourage that. Hebrews 10:25. Ooh, we've been waiting for this one for a long time, right? Such holy provocation cannot occur with the forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Although some had done just that, it happens rather by exhorting each other in assemblies, in assemblies calls for that purpose, as well in the normal course of daily life. It's just the fact of the matter, we know, as we said, we're not going to see each other. We don't see everybody here every day. Some we get to see more than others. But so when we have our times of assembling together, it should be one of anticipation, of provoking to love, that we are glad to see you, that we are excited to hear about things that are going on in your life. Somebody will come up to me and say, you know, I had this opportunity to share the gospel with this individual that I'm working with. That's a great thing. Because you never know how you could influence one other person. And it all has to start somewhere with just that conversation. But it's not just enough for us to go into the world and encourage as we need to, but we need to come here and be encouraged. Many times midweek when we're meeting together, we hear it referred to as a recharging of our spiritual batteries. Okay, so I've got a little battery charger case in my office. Got four AA batteries that I alternate from my microphone here. So why can't I just put one set of batteries in and leave it all the time? Because they go dead. They get used up. They don't hold the charge like they used to. And so I'll put those on there. The little blue light comes on. I go, ooh. Then I grab the other set of batteries. I really don't do that, so don't come into the office expecting for me to do that. But yeah, I know, right? So I grab the other set of batteries out and I put those in and we go on. But that's what that is being referenced to in our Wednesday night Bible studies and our prayer time. I don't know about you, and I don't know how long we've been doing it now, over a year or so, but that first Wednesday night of the month, I really look forward to that. I've never had the opportunity to be in the ladies' gathering for that. Maybe someday I'll get invited. I'm over here with the guy. No, they're like, oh no. See, that would close it up real quick. We're over here with the guys, and I love being able to hear, because there are things that sometimes get brought up and prayed for that hadn't normally been, and I love that. Because it's a way of hearing what's on other people's mind when they talk to God. And what that does then is that I'm like, why haven't I thought about that in my prayer time? And I use that to make that better. Growing for the greater good of Jesus Christ. So it has been suggested that these readers were still meeting in the Jewish synagogues, but remaining for Christian devotions on the Lord's Day. So here's what appears is the struggle. As we would know, a town that had 10 or more male Hebrew men, wouldn't that be redundant? Male Hebrews, they would have the right to build a synagogue. That's where the Jews would then meet on Sabbath, the Saturday, right? On Saturday. So it was kind of like, hey, you know what? There's nothing going on here on Sundays when the new covenant came into order. So guess where they would oftentimes meet? That's why the Jews always got so upset when Paul would come into town, because he would meet with the Jews on Saturday, and then the Lord's Day, perhaps the Christians would meet in there, and then they would get upset because now you're coming into this teaching this false doctrine, when really what he was trying to do was teach them the complete counsel of God. But anyway, so we had some that as Christians that would meet up on that first day of the week was like, you know, I still liked the way Rabbi Hockenmacher would do such a thing. You know, you got to do that when you talk Hebrew, right? That I love the way that Rabbi would explain this, you know, passages of scripture, would use that. And so I like to do, and we can almost justify that in our mind, right? Oh yeah, that'd be good. We'd go there. And then, but then what do they have to do as a Jew, if you don't accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Eventually, somewhere along the line, there's going to be animal sacrifices given. And you've either got to say, okay, yeah, well, we're here. We'll just go ahead. I'll close my eyes, but I won't pray. God will know. Right? And then we start, but what we're doing then is going along with what the Jews were. And this becomes a problem. Then we get this in our mind as well, and in becoming very popular in today's society. But when we really look into the Bible, it's nothing, you know, we're told nothing new is under the sun. But have you noticed how more and more, and here's where we're at. We see more and more religious programs taking place on Friday and Saturdays, which there's nothing wrong with going to church on Friday or Saturday. But what they've done then is substituted it for the Lord's Day. Thus, in here lies the problem. And they say, well, it doesn't matter what day you praise the Lord. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. First of all, it's not on this mountain, and it's not on this mountain. Remember, as we talked this morning, that it's a mind and a heart thing. So yes, well, I can be very sincere on a Friday night, and then I can really sincere when I sleep in on Sunday morning. So they've made a substitute. So here's what happens in the New Testament church here that Paul's writing to at the Hebrews, is that you have the opportunity to meet on the Lord's Day, but it's been long. You know, Rabbi so-and-so, he's good, but boy, he went a little long. And so do I really want to go to church tomorrow? And so we then, in essence, what we're doing is holding on to the other things. Instead of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we grab onto those other things that we like and don't seem that wrong. But when we start substituting those things out, and then saying, well, we'll go to this one, eventually something's got to give. And it usually does. And unfortunately, more often than not, it seems like the inaccurate, the fallible, the falling away always becomes the attraction rather than the digging deep, standing firm, and holding on to God and Jesus Christ to help us through that. So they'd go to the Jewish services, they'd come in for devotions and the Lord's Supper, and then, you know, the boy has, you know, an event that he has to go somewhere, and so, you know, but we were there, we just decided to slip out after communion, and then go do our thing. And so as we look at this, are we then really doing what the Lord has wanted for us to do? Some were neglecting this additional assembling for which they are chided. Others have suggested that some were absenting themselves from the regular assemblies of the saints through pride of a party spirit and were holding private meetings instead. And so is there anything wrong with having a Bible study in your house? No. But if you decide to do that over the times that the elders have designated for us to be here, then it almost sounds like you've got a separate agenda. You may not. I'm just saying it almost sounds that way. And that's what Paul is saying here. This comes away. How can you then encourage those others here, all others, when you're secluding yourself out? They will not do this by calling an end to Christian assemblies. We're not going to say quit having Sunday night services. But maybe we just won't go. They won't do this because of fear of persecution or of simple indifference. If you're here tonight only because of peer pressure, you're here for the wrong reason. But rather meeting together for exhortation. Such encouragement is to intensify as we see the day approaching. Do you get excited, more excited, as we see our work week coming to an end and looking for the time that we can meet together upon the Lord's Day? That's what they're saying. That as this went through, boy, it's been a long week. That's usually what we say at the school. Monday mid-morning. But how many times do we have that long week spiritually? Then we're like, you know, and that's what I say. So we come on Wednesday night, and we're like, oh boy, that's really going to help me get through the week. The encouragement that we get. So it's to intensify as we see that day approaching. Some talk about this when they see that, as we see the day approaching. So what day is that? Is that the Lord's day? Is that the return of Christ? Shouldn't we be looking forward to both? Shouldn't we be looking forward to those things? Throughout the Old Testament literature, the day means an occasion when God visits a people to punish sin and deliver righteousness. Ooh, that almost changes looking forward to the day of seeing the Lord approach, or looking forward to the approaching day of the Lord. The New Testament writers also speak of a final day of punishment and salvation. Before the destruction of Jerusalem, many early Christians did not know to separate the end of the Jewish state and religion from the close of the present age and the end of the world. But Matthew 24:3, Acts 1:6-8, Jesus, or those things help us to explain the difference that we look at there. That there are two questions that are being asked in Matthew 25. One has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem, and the other has to do with the return. Too many times people put those together as one question. They're not. Jesus answers both separate questions with separate answers. And then we see that carried out in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Jesus had taught, however, that the two would not come together. As we just alluded to, and there are scriptures that hold that. The author to the Hebrews may write before or after the climatic days of the closing 60s. That's coming to the end of the Jewish era, because Titus would, the Roman leader would come in and sack Jerusalem, devastate it. We know the story. Whatever the date, he speaks of the final day of the Lord that stands of the plot being all brought together of all human history at the consummation of the age. His readers had not learned to separate the day into the separate events of resurrection, judgment, and so forth, but thought of the entire event as the event of the phrase from the Old Testament. As one commentator puts it, this is the day of days. The final, the decisive day of time, the commencing day of eternity, breaking through and breaking up for the church of the redeemed, the night of the present. It is a poor argument that believers could not see this day approaching. James could urge patience in affliction, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Paul could speak of the saints knowing the time, that the day is at hand. Peter could write of the impending judgment and the end of all things as at hand, and the word in all three passages is the word translated approaching here. Furthermore, all three contexts contain ethical instruction regarding proper conduct and mutual concern among Christian believers in the view of the impending day. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Although some translators make it seem like this is a fourth separate challenge, it's actually still connected with the previous challenge. Apparently, some of the wavering believers had started becoming absent from the weekly assembly. It is indicated that when we are absent, we miss giving and receiving this encouragement. Not only to give encouragement, but to receive the encouragement. Oftentimes we come to the services to look at what we can get out of it and not what we can give to others while we're here. Or even to God. We come in thinking, well, I'm here. They should be happy and he better be happy. If that's our attitude. It's, as we shared this morning, it's about being here for him. Here the emphasis not on what we get from the assembly, but on what we get to give to others. This verse might tell us that we need to assemble, but our previous verse tells us why we are to assemble, to spur on one another, on to love and good deeds. It is evident that some disagree of forsaking the Lord's Day assembly and become a habit of some in the church. There are several reasons why members are particular of the particular church were forsaking the assembly. Maybe it was a legit fear of persecution. Maybe it was a feeling of not needing to go. You know, and we've heard people say, I don't need to be in that building sitting on those pew chairs to worship God. You're right. But you're also not there receiving encouragement from others and not giving encouragement to others if you're not there. Maybe it's just messed up and wrong priorities. Or maybe worst case scenario, it's just straight out disobedience. And as we look at that and we consider some of those things, I think all of those are fair possibilities for us today, not just those 2,000 years ago. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is a wrong, and it is a wrong, and it hurts the body of Christ. Again, we see that a part of our practice while in attendance should be to encourage others. He suggests that the level of encouragement should be more intense as the day draws near. So I'll say this. We're excited to be here today because we can look back in the past week, see where the Lord was with us, but we are another week closer to this world being over. We are another week closer to living with Him for all eternity. So it should be more intense as we look for next week. We're anticipating that, the excitement of the Lord giving us the opportunity. But you know what? The fact of the matter is He might call us home before that. Some have suggested that the day which is drawing near is speaking of the Lord's Day or Sunday, the first day of the week, as we said. And some have suggested that the day which is drawing near is speaking to the second coming of Jesus. I'm just saying this, if I'm around, if I'm alive, if I'm able, I'm looking forward to this upcoming Lord's Day next week. And in the meantime, I am looking forward to the Lord's return. And you know how I do that? You guys are a great help in that. And I pray that I could be a great help in your encouragement to looking forward to either next Sunday or the Lord's return. But either way, we need to be ready. You know how you can get ready? It starts by being obedient, by falling in love with this man named Jesus, that you want to be so much a part of His life that whatever He asks you to do, yes, sir, I will do it. It says it starts with the belief in Him and who He is. A repentance that needs to take place in our heart. A mind, a change of mind that produces that change of action. That we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That we need to repent of our sins, confess Christ, and then be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of His sins. And then we do all of that. As a Christian, we remain faithful. Are we going to struggle? Are we going to falter? Are we going to fail? Yes, but it's about standing up, dusting ourselves off, and going back and looking forward to the day of the Lord as it approaches. If you're here tonight and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that today would be your day of salvation. Maybe it's something you've been contemplating. Maybe it's a renewal, a opportunity to refocus. Ask for the church to pray for you, whatever it may be. When we're seeking to do the will of Jesus and apply it to our life, that's the encouragement that we need to be encouraged with. They're going to lead us in our song of invitation tonight. And if you're here and would like to become a Christian or know more about that, please reach out to someone. Let us share the message of Jesus. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?